You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, we're just a week into the new year, and you've already broken at least one of your New Year's resolutions. Now what? An expert will guide you. Plus, ladies, there's a shortage of something that, depending on the time of the month, you'll want to know about. And the people have chosen. But what does our movie guy think of the latest awards? Let's meet the friends. She's down to earth but ready to knock it to the moon. In for Aaron Myers, it's our producer, Brooke Peterson.
Hey, Phil. Do something tonight that nobody, and I mean nobody, will be able to do for another 8,000 years.
You don't want to miss a word that comes out of the mouth of our guest co-host, Greg Spillane. Gonzo Greg is here.
Phil, I have the feel-good story of the year, and the headline is this. Machete-wielding security guard thwarts robbery of adult toy store after being attacked with a bomb.
And
is it real or did I make it up?
I think you made it up. And he's not scratching, he's exfoliating. Chris Martin is here.
I have the most upsetting story in lottery scratcher ticket history.
Right, very good. And we're getting off to a good start with these headlines here. I can't wait to hear most of it. Except, Greg, your story. You made that up completely. All right, let's start with you, Brooke, and thanks for sitting in today. It's a pleasure, a rare pleasure to have you in the studio with
us. Thank you. My pleasure.
Working behind the scenes and doing a great job at it, but what people don't know is that you have a radio background, and you're I'm setting you up for failure, aren't I?
Can we lower these expectations, please?
Yeah, okay, fine. Trying her best to be on the show. Here she is, mm-hmm. Brooke Peterson, with our first story. And what is this thing that only comes around 8,000 years?
I don't get a drum roll? Okay.
No.
Thank you very much. It's a comet, of course. It's a comet, but this is a green comet. So it also
they have those?
They do. They're for reals. But this comet is visible with the naked eye, which means anybody can just walk outside their door. And if as long as they're not living in New York City or L.A., they can probably see this comet on their front stoop.
So drive away from the city lights.
Go to Joshua Tree.
Well, if you're local, that's in Southern California. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
So the cool thing about this tonight, last night and tonight, is because it's in a location that makes it really easy to spot. So if you find Orion's Belt, which is pretty much the only thing I can find in the sky.
Okay. I can usually see his tools.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Wow, Chris. Looking for the tool belt.
Finding the belt. And then you just sort of go east a bit. And if you have a pair of binoculars, look through those, and you'll see something green. And that is a comet that we will not see again for 8,000 years. It's called Comet Q2 Lovejoy.
And just think of the scouring power this rare green comet would have.
Green comet, is that like a superhero?
No.
It's a new superhero movie. So like Ant-Man, right?
Yes.
It's only 44,000 miles away.
That's not far.
It's not far.
Are we in any danger?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not.
Well, what's the point of that story?
Because you can see it with the naked eye.
All right. If you have something there to make us feel uneasy, Brooke, now would be the time.
Okay. Say you're on the beach.
Yeah.
You're enjoying yourself. You're in Australia, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you are on 1 mile beach enjoying the sun. And next thing you know, you hear the lifeguard whistling his whistle, which is generally a sign to come in from the water because there's sharks, which is bad enough. And everybody hurries in. They scuttles up to the beach. And next thing you know, a 5-foot snake comes slithering up onto the beach.
Crikey.
A poisonous snake. This is not even just a 5-foot snake. This is one of the most dangerous snakes, world's most venomous snakes. It is an eastern brown snake.
They have all of the world's most venomous snakes in Australia, don't they?
I suppose so.
And spiders. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you dislike?
This is on the beach?
This is on the beach. Just a normal beach. Like, imagine you're in Santa Monica.
What are we going to do with all these mother effing snakes on this mother effing beach?
Yeah, right.
Well, luckily there was just one. However, there is this other situation that is
cryptic
much closer
movie
to
reference,
home.
Yes.
Yeah, in San Diego. And this is something nightmares. I mean, I'm going to have a nightmare tonight. A woman is at the office, and she notices the water is a little bit higher than usual. So she pulls out the plunger and, does a couple of chug, chug, chugs. And out comes a 5.5-foot snake.
In her toilet at the office.
In the office toilet in San Diego. This is not, like, chilly. This is This is 2 hours away.
They have snakes in the toilets regularly in Chile?
Perhaps.
That's in the vacation brochure.
Only if you don't flush.
We have listeners in Chile.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they can call in and let us know. Do they have snakes in their toilets?
This is the thing. You have to be careful on this program because every sentence you say has the potential to offend somebody somewhere.
Ooh.
You've just offended the entire...
Is that a good thing?
Chilean population.
It is good. Controversy is good.
You know, comments.
Well done.
Comments, interaction, discourse. Yeah.
What do you dislike more? What creeps you out more, snakes or spiders?
Oh, snakes. Yeah.
Really? More so?
I don't mind killing the spiders. It's the furry spiders that I might have a problem with.
What about a roach? What about a cockroach?
Can we get a producer to get a snake guy on the show and bring the snakes in and let us hold them during the show?
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, you're the producer. That's right. see what we can do about that. All right. Thank you. And Greg, turning to you now.
Yeah, let's go around the room and see if I made this up or not. Okay, so here's the headline again.
My hand is up.
Okay. Machete-wielding security guard thwarts robbery of adult toy store after being attacked with a bong.
A bong.
Is that real or did I make it?
That's one of those plastic smoking devices you stick up to your mouth, right?
Right, yeah.
To smoke tobacco, of course.
Of course.
Of course, for smoking tobacco. Yeah, absolutely.
I vote that it's not real.
I'll bite. I think it's real.
Well, I would think in an adult store he might wield something else, but I'll bite also.
But why is there why does the security guard have a machete?
Where does the machete come in? And that's the question everybody has. Lieutenant Bob Dunn of the Anaheim Police Department told news sources that the guard did, in fact, actually strike back against the attacker with a machete, which is one of the things they do not sell at the couple's mega outlet in the 900 block of Euclid Avenue in Anaheim.
It can't possibly feel good to have a machete in the bed with you while you're active with your partner.
Yeah, apparently that's not part of the stock at the couple's mega outlet. But a buddy of mine who I used to work radio with in Indianapolis, and he had the greatest saying ever, and it is very true. You just cannot own a machete and not get into trouble with it.
That's true.
If you have a machete, it's always going to lead to trouble.
Sooner or later, somebody else in the house knows that machete is there, right. And after a couple of drinks, and you said something to make her mad.
No. And another thing, and let me tell you about...
Honey, why are you holding the machete?
So, yes, this did in fact happen in Anaheim on Friday evening.
Yeah. Now, is it machete or is it machete?
Machete. Machete. Yeah.
You know, like the movie.
Yeah, yeah, I prefer that version better.
Yeah, that's a lot of people chopped up with that machete.
More flair, for sure.
All right, so thank you, Greg and Chris. What's going on with the lottery? Is it some kind of shenanigans?
There's shenanigans. It's a Travis Sham mockery, actually, what happened.
A what?
Over in, it's a travesty, a sham, and a mockery, all combined into one.
Yeah, I like that.
In New Mexico, a man bought a Ruby 7 scratcher ticket from a Shell gas station. The ticket showed two winning number ones on the right-hand side, and on the left-hand side, those winning number ones equated to $250,000 each.
Wow, what a lucky guy.
Life-changing money.
Of course.
Sure. So he went to the lottery council, and they told him it was a misprint and then refused to honor the ticket.
A misprint?
How fair is that?
That sounds like a lawsuit.
It's not his fault it was a misprint.
No, it's not.
No. Now, I've got a picture that I sent over to you, Phil, and if you want to look it up, check it up on the old Google machine.
I'll send it to the web munchkins, too, and see if they can get it on
and
the
if site. You look, you'll see that the figures just to the right of the ones that were the winning numbers are slightly distorted, but there's something there, like it could have been an 8 or a 9 or something, but 90% of that second number is missing. So they said, look, man, sorry, that was supposed to be a double-digit number. The other side of the double-digit number didn't show up. We're not going to honor your tickets, but we will give you $100 in free scratchers if you want.
$100 in free scratchers.
Sure.
Yeah. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
I mean, it is tempting. You know, when you have the gambler's itch, it is tempting. Oh, $100. Okay, I could scratch that. Maybe do better than $500,000.
Right. I'm going to double that.
I just love, yes, it's a misprint. That's it. Yeah.
No report on whether or not he's going to sue, but I don't think he's going to go down without his fight.
I'd sue the pants off him.
Oh. Right. Go get him.
Go get him.
Hey, here's something that maybe you didn't know. After medical students work on cadavers, it makes them hungry.
Whoa. Gosh, that is gross.
And it's not
so disturbing.
It's not because... It's not because of some weird cannibalistic urge, sadly.
Pancreas.
We wish it was. But it's because the smell of formaldehyde actually increases your appetite.
Huh.
Huh.
That's why McDonald's sounds smells so funky most of the time.
And why you eat so much when you're there.
Yeah, how about that? All right.
Delicious formaldehyde.
Now, ladies, we have a story coming up next that you absolutely need to hear because there's an important shortage alert that if you don't hear this and start making provisions now, and I don't know what in the world you're going to do to provide for this, but if you don't start making provisions now, you're going to be out of luck when that friend arrives. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, here we go. It's our second section today on Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron has the day off. Brooke Peterson is here. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here. And so is Chris Martin. So there you go. That's the roster, today's roster for the Friends. If you don't have a, what do they call that? Don't have a program? Can't tell the players without their numbers?
Without a program, without a scorecard?
There you go.
I do. Yeah, We're here, but listen anyway.
Exactly.
I did want to compliment you, Phil, on your ability to fill that seat with one attractive woman after another when, you know, it needs a replacement. Yeah,
it's a talent, man.
It is really a talent.
Yeah.
And
I'm the Pippi Longstocking to her Jessica Rabbit.
And by the way, you can always watch the program live. You go to philhewlettandfriends.com, click on the How to Listen page. And right there near the top somewhere, you'll see that there are a couple of options for you to watch us live. Cameras in the studio. We don't even wear makeup. This is what we look like. Well, Brooke, you've got some on.
Well.
You go on the light side. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So while we're talking about lady products.
Yeah. This is awkward.
Wow.
Phil.
There's a segue.
Yeah.
All right, Casey Kasem. Nice job. Now on with the countdown.
Don't try this at home, kids. There is, just tell us about the shortage.
I don't even know what they're trying. I don't know what's happening down there. I got in trouble with Chile, but this is important to mention. This is in Argentina. This is not here in the States yet.
It could affect us.
It could affect us, especially if you're traveling into, you know, Argentina. They have no tampons in Argentina.
None?
None.
Uh-oh.
It's been a shortage for about 2 weeks. They're expecting the importers are blaming the government. The government's blaming the importers. They're in this war. In the meantime, the ladies are in the middle going, hello?
Can I run to the market and just pull everything off the shelves and then open up my eBay account and make them available just in Argentina?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
I'm always thinking.
Yeah. Well, you know that. You know, you're an entrepreneur, Phil.
Yeah. I could ship overnight.
Speaking of,
I think there's many ladies who would take you up on that.
Speaking of entrepreneurs, as a lady, Brooke, let's say you run into that situation. Is there like a MacGyver alternate that you can find to solve the problem?
Yeah, I've got one of those Nerf rifles, you know, with the pellets. You could use those, right?
I mean, corks? No.
Well, you know, we've had the guy on a couple times on the show, the duct tape guy.
Right. There you go.
Just tape it off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Just tape it off for a couple of days.
Just wad up a bunch of toilet paper. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't know what they're doing.
That was my first thought, too.
Well, Phil, if you're good with your, you know, you're going to start this business, you're okay with going to the store and picking those up? Because a lot of guys are like, you know, if your lady sends you to the store.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Three daughters.
Fine. You know what? No. You want to test your self-esteem, just go in there and grab a couple of boxes of Depends.
Own it.
You know?
Yeah.
Own
right.
It.
Yeah, say everything. Wow.
Yeah. Just anything that's embarrassing. And just go over there and then, you know, you flush whatever it is that's in you that, you know, and it's done. And so when you absolutely need those items, you don't feel weird about walking through the, you know,
you
come
practiced.
On. Yeah, of course. You got to live through the judgment. And I don't know if we're going to live through the leap second. Greg, explain what that is and what's happening and why.
See, the Earth, I have a number of reasons to be upset with the Earth. Now, it's because the Earth is going to break the internet on June 30th at 11:59. The Earth is slowing down. Yeah. As we all do as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's necessary to add what they call a leap second to keep the atomic clocks in line with the rotation of the Earth. And so when they do this at 11:59 p.m. on June 30th, there will be another 11:59 in 1 second, mm-hmm. Which will cause what we believe the internet to break.
This is like Y2K. The internet would have broken had we not put to work legions of IT professionals.
Sure.
Who installed software patches that they had to write first, all the code.
Right.
And it was a huge cottage industry. I think billions of dollars were spent by companies to avert the stopping of commerce and
all things,
life as we know it.
Elevators, trains, everything was going to explode. I remember sitting in my basement in Detroit on the eve of Y2K with food supplies.
Yes.
And just waiting for the Earth to explode.
I was huddled on a couch with my wife and daughters. We didn't know what was going to occur. We had the TV on. We had a feeling it would explode at the top of the hour, and so we shut it off and we just waited for the sirens and the dogs.
You didn't let Dick Clark talk you through it?
You off the ledge? No. In fact, he was so stressed over it. Look what happened to him.
I know. Well, that was Seacrest's fault. But this leap second thing happened before in 2012, and that's why they know it's kind of a problem. So like Reddit and Foursquare, Yelp and LinkedIn, and a bunch of other kind of major. Well, nobody's on LinkedIn, but they all reported. They all reported problems last time when they did it in 2012, so hopefully they'll be more prepared this time.
Yeah, all right.
I blame this on the advent of the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
What the Aztecs.
Those guys if they can't keep it down with all their chanting, I think I'm going to switch over to the Mayan calendar.
Dumbest calendar ever.
Yeah.
It's a stupid, dumb calendar.
It doesn't make any sense.
You know what also doesn't make sense to me is how much money companies spend on 30 seconds of advertising time in the Super Bowl, Chris?
Well, if you ask advertisers, and NBC in particular, because they're hosting the Super Bowl this year, they would say that it's well worth it. It's worth every penny of the millions.
What's a spot on the show cost this year?
This year it's going to be $4.5 million for 30 seconds of commercial time.
And how many people are you reaching? About 45 million?
No, it's closer to 100.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think last year it was something like 90 million. The year before that, I think it was closer to 100 million. This year they expect to break that record.
You're spending like 45 cents. Per person to reach, each person.
Yeah, there you go. If you want to break it down that way. I mean,
well, that's cheaper than direct mail, so there you go.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, better than sending them envelopes.
Now, if your commercial is good, then you reach a lot of people.
Last year, they kind of were disappointing.
You leave an impact. I do.
They were sad. Let's get a commercial for the show, Phil. We need a commercial for the show.
I think we do. And here, I've got a creative concept. Can I run it past you?
Oh, yeah.
We already have cameras in the studio. We have no production budget, so here's what I recommend. We just sit here in the studio and roll the camera, and there's awkward silence for 25, 26, 27 seconds. And then at the end of the commercial, we flash the URL, philhewlittandfriends.com.
And so that awkward silence like we had at the beginning of the program the other day?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Like
nobody
that.
Nobody said anything? Yeah.
Like that. And then people will just they'll see that and they'll say, what the heck was that? And it'll be the most ingenious moment in Super Bowl.
I love it. I think
history.
It's amazing. I think it's brilliant. I think everyone will remember it.
The problem is we don't have $4.5 million. So should we Kickstarter that? Can we get the money? Do they have any spots left, Chris?
I'll throw in $10. You know what? They have barely any spots left. They've already sold out 95% of their commercial stock for this Super Bowl. So there's 5% left out of how many commercials that they're going to be
your
playing.
Window.
So what? We've got like 10 minutes.
Right.
To come up with
better
cash.
Do it now or we're going to miss out. One other quick interesting point. There's going to be 15 new first-time advertisers at this Super Bowl. I don't know who they are, but they better make it interesting. Make an impact.
Pony.
Do something
Phil,
cool.
That would be ours would be the spot that everybody remembers, but they don't know what it was for.
Yes.
Like, Right. I like that commercial, but I don't know what they were selling.
But just think of all the publicity we'd get. Everybody would write about it. They'd all say who we were. That people would be interviewing us and everything. It'd be genius if we did that.
I will say this. Nobody stares awkwardly at each other better than us.
That's true.
We've got that down.
Yeah, we have mastered the awkward pause.
And here's something awkward as well. There's more to being a radio personality than glamour, fame, and orgies and piles of money. Isn't that right, Greg?
Divorce, alcoholism. I don't know.
But maybe now you will appreciate us a little better. According to a new study from CareerCast.com, the word broadcaster is the seventh most stressful job you can have. Broadcaster. They looked at 11 different kinds of jobs and the demands of those jobs that evoke stress, both physical and mental stress. Here are the 10 most stressful jobs. Firefighter, member of the military, general in the military, airline pilot, police officer, actor. Number 7, broadcaster, you're welcome, America. Event coordinator, photojournalist, and newspaper reporter. Least stressful, hairstylist, audiologist, university professor, medical records technician, jeweler, medical lab tech, tailor, dietitian, librarian, and forklift operator.
Oh.
That's surprising.
Yes.
That's rough trade.
I am so stressed out. We got to take a break, man.
No, you've seen that looping video of the guy that backs into the stock and it all falls down on him. I'm sure you've seen that.
And the forklift, yes.
Hey, coming up, we're talking movies with Manny the Movie Guy. He's going to be here, talk about the latest awards and what it means for Oscar hopefuls. Don't miss it. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. We thank you for tuning in. As usual, the lineup today is interesting as not usual. No, it's interesting as usual, but it's not usual is what I mean to say. We have Gonzo Greg Spillane co-hosting today. Our producer, Brooke Peterson, is here.
Hola.
Erin Myers has the day off. She's on assignment. She's somewhere. She's been bad, so we had to assign her to something.
She's in the corner.
That's right. And Chris Martin has... near perfect attendance. You've missed one show, right?
Right, because of a haboob, let's not forget.
That's right.
You
were haboob.
I don't miss it for just anything. You were stranded. Going to be a sandstorm.
Absolutely stranded. All right, it's time to talk movies. Joining us live with a particular set of skills for this sort of thing is KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. How's it going so far? Pretty good?
It's been fantastic. Thank you so much. Been busy.
Oh, I'll bet you have.
Festival. Just wrapping up, and now Golden Globe Awards is Sunday.
So, all right. Yeah. We're going to talk about all that in a moment. But
it's my Super Bowl event.
I know it is, so we're going to wait on it just for a moment. Now, Manny, I don't want to be a spoiler, but from what I understand, in Taken 3, Liam Neeson gets kidnapped. Is that right?
Please, can he? Please?
Here's what I can tell you. He's back to protecting the one thing that he truly loves, and it's his daughter.
Oh.
But I'm doubting if people will really be back again for Taken 3. I mean, the quality of the movie just keeps on digressing from the very... The first one was fantastic. I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, it was awesome.
The second one was predictable, and this one is pretty much the same. It's formulaic.
Does he send anybody under the bed and say, wait there, and they're going to take you?
Correct.
He does?
Yeah, well, you know, here's the problem with Liam Neeson, too, is that, you know, he's got... The Tombstone movie just came out in November, December, and it's pretty much Taken 4.
Yeah.
I mean, gone is the Liam Neeson that we loved in Lincoln, for instance. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I'm disappointed because I was looking forward to them really going out with a bang here. Because, Chris, we were talking about this before the show, as you point out in their promotions. What do they say?
Yeah, their tagline is, it ends here.
Well, thankfully then, if it's not as good.
Yeah. Well, it should just really end in Taken 1.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's doing, you know, internationally, it's played in a couple of countries already, and it's already brought in about $10 million.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, yeah, exactly. Taken 1 made 140, Taken 2 made 138. So people may still want to see this, and that's going to be a problem because we're going to be get ready for Taken 10.
Yeah, I know.
Liam Neeson, he just needs to put out one of those take a number things for, you know, whoever he's married, related to in any way.
Who'd like to be kidnapped.
Right. Yeah. Take a number and you'll be next.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, January is traditionally known as the graveyard for movies.
Yeah.
I mean, all the horrible films get released this month.
Well, you know, Manny, I want to ask you, though, because since there really isn't anything else in wide release this weekend, that movie, it came out in June or July, I think, that took 12 years to make.
Boyhood.
Yeah, it's out on DVD this
week,
right?
Yeah, that's my favorite film of the year. It was my favorite film in the first half of the year, and it was my favorite film at the end of the year. And you guys should get it. There's no deleted scenes. I'm looking at my copy of my the Blu-ray. There's no deleted scenes, but there's a special featurette. Of, if you're interested in how Richard Linklater directed the film for 12 years, then this is for you.
That's right. Now, Manny, what's the matter with people? the People's Choice Awards, they keep voting for Adam Sandler. I'm sorry. Aren't there any other comic actors out there?
I know. Well, Chris Rock was fantastic in Top 5. Here's what, you know, critics or maybe, you know, those people like you and I who kind of think a little highly of our pop culture will probably not vote for Adam Sandler. But he's loved by these people, you know, even though they haven't been going to his movies.
Right, his movies bomb.
Right. I did quite enjoy talking to him, but he's a sweetheart. He's a really nice man.
Well, I don't have anything against him personally. You know, I wish him well. I hope his movies do better, but what, you
I just, know, yeah, we just...
We're voting on what, the value of people as movie stars.
Right, exactly.
But do these People's Choice Awards, do they mean anything in the grand scheme of things?
It doesn't make a dent or anything. It's really at the end. It's for the people, the fans, which is really what Hollywood is all about. But, I mean, for quality and, you know, great movies, we largely ignore that.
All right, so you've made several predictions, and the Globes are coming up.
Oh, I'm excited.
And I have a feeling your predictions will be bared out to be accurate. What do you think?
Well, thank you. You want to test it?
Right. Well, best actress, you said Reese, right? Reese Witherspoon?
No, for best actress drama, I'm picking Julianne Moore.
Oh, that's right.
Alice.
Okay, not Reese. Reese gets the runner-up, right?
Yes. Yeah, but she's nominated, though.
Uh-huh.
For best actor drama, I'm choosing Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything. For comedy, Birdman, Michael Keaton.
Oh.
And I feel that he's going to win Best Actor Oscars. We don't even know the nomination, but I'm sure he's going to be in one of them, and he's going to win it all the way.
Look at you. All right. And so the Globes, when you win one of those, that portends more than anything else what's going to happen at Oscar. Is that correct?
A little. You know what? And I'm not being biased. I'm a member of the Critics' Choice Movie Awards, the Broadcast Film Critics, where we give the Critics' Choice Movie Awards.
Yeah.
We are actually closer. We're a better barometer of the Oscars.
But that hasn't happened yet, right? When do the Critics' Choice happen?
It's going to happen next Thursday.
Yeah. All right. Next Thursday. Yeah. All right.
And I'll be there.
Will you come up on stage?
Well, no. One time they shot something that, you know, had to imitate some stars, and I imitated Angelina Jolie, and they showed it all. It was an E.
Is there video of that on your website?
No.
Why not?
I will look for it, though, and I'll send you a link.
Yes.
I channeled Angelina Jolie for the Changeling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, did you wear that the dress with the leg? I would hope, right?
Not without my son. Yeah, that one. That
yeah, right. I love that. And you have just the lips for it, too, Manny.
Oh, well, thanks.
Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I know this is your time of the year. You are just glowing with excitement over all the awards.
And busy and sleepless nights and the whole shebang. But you know what? I'm happy. It's my thing.
And remind us once again, when are the Oscars?
The Oscars, it's the last Sunday of February.
And how much longer is it before they close the qualifying for movies? Can I release a movie this weekend and still get in?
No. It's closed now. Your deadline was December 31st. It should be released either in L.A. or New York.
Well, see, that's not...
It's only released for one theater.
I mean, if you put out a movie in January or February and it is really good, you're more or less screwed, aren't you?
Yeah, but you know what? There's one... Well, sort of recent memory. Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs was considered horrible, probably, by back then it was Orion Pictures.
Yeah.
And they released that in February, like middle of February. And look what happened. 10 months later, it won the top 5 categories.
Yeah. How about that?
It made fava beans very popular.
Yes.
That's true. I didn't know what a fava bean was until then.
Until Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. But make that noise again, Greg. Oh, beautiful. It's like a bat flying by.
Yeah, happy to help.
Manny the Movie Guy. Visit his website, mannythemovieguy.com. We have him linked on our links page. If you go to the About page and see the regular contributors section, you'll see him and click on his lovely face. You'll go right to his website.
I've been clicking on it a lot, numerous times.
Oh, thank you. You're increasing our value. And he's on Palm Springs TV station, KMIR,
NBC,
regularly.
Yeah, the NBC affiliate. That's why I'm telling you, Golden Globes, NBC this Sunday, 5 p.m.
Love it. Okay, Manny the Movie Guy. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Okay, there he goes. You know, it's January 8th, guys, and I'm confident that you've already broken your New Year's resolutions. So is it even worth making them anymore? I mean, you can't
I generally don't.
I mean, you can't be trusted with self-improvement, really.
Clearly, I can't.
Yeah, so. Well,
just take me out of this conversation.
Well, that's why we have help for you. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to it, and we thank you for that. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish is a nationally known psychologist and licensed clinical social worker specializing in family and women's issues. And she's the author of the book Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love. And she joins us live right now to talk about something completely different. And Dr. Wish, thank you very much. We're talking about New Year's resolutions today and how we've all screwed up. We're 8 days into the new year. And why do we even bother with resolutions anymore?
Well, there's so much pressure. You know, it's New Year's. Everyone's making resolutions. Every talk show has someone like me on it or the radio. And so people come up to you and say, so what's your resolution? And you think in your brain,
Yeah, let me make one up real quick.
Okay, that's right, exactly. So there's that social pressure. You know, never underestimate social pressure.
Yeah, some people have figured out how to use that social pressure for good, but not me. There have to be people out there, however, who are good at this resolution thing, right?
There are.
Can I have some names?
Oh, okay, yourself?
Well, I'll tell you what I've done, and I mentioned this on the last program. The last time I had a resolution was 3 New Year's Eves ago, and I resolved to be kinder and more empathetic and to listen more carefully to people. And it's something I continue to work on. It didn't just happen overnight. It's a long project. And I think I'm going to stick with that resolution for as long as I live and continue to focus on that and see what I can do. So with that being said, I can't think of a single awful thing to say about you yet, Doctor, but just the same, what you say, I'm one of those people on the list. Who are these people who are good at the resolutions, and how does that work exactly?
Well, you said something very important. You just gave a great example of how resolutions are not made per year. Resolutions are an ongoing mind and lifestyle. And the fact that you're still working on kindness is just a great way to show how resolutions really work.
So it's a big lifestyle change, and I've always read that if you want to change something in your routine, that you have to do it every day for 21 days. But, you know, I'm going on 3 years. Is that a little ridiculous?
Not at all. 21 days, that's nothing. That's barely enough to get the idea somehow as a reminder in your brain when you go to sleep at night. it's a lifelong journey. And
yeah, because 21 days ago, Phil was just a total jerk.
Yes, that's so, right.
Yeah, now it's
it ebbs and flows. That's for sure. Well, we have the best of intentions when we make these resolutions. I mean, we recognize where we need to improve in our lives. So, if not resolutions, what?
Well, when it comes to resolutions, determination and that dedication you think that is just really going to do it this time really won't work if you don't have a plan. So that's the first thing.
Plan.
Have a plan and break it down into small, doable steps. You just can't say to yourself, I'm going to lose weight this year, or I'm just going to be kind this year, without saying to yourself, I'm going to become mindful. I'm going to know when I reach for the junk food that I say to myself something to stop me.
2.6 cookies instead of 3.
Well, you know,
baby steps.
Anything. But, you know, those things still often don't work.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because you haven't done the following things. You haven't found out what your emotional triggers are that make you say to yourself, well, tonight is a timeout and I'm just going to eat every bag of popcorn in the house. And then the next day you wake up and you say, I feel horrible, I hate me. And what do you do when you say that? You would think that you would not spend the rest of the day eating the whole stack of Oreo cookies.
Oh, yes, I would. That's exactly what I would do.
That's right. Because your bad behavior works as both a reward. You know, today I'm going to have, you know, just a little ice cream cone because I, you know, got a promotion. But it also works as punishment. I'm a terrible person. I already ate 3 bags of popcorn, so what's 2 more?
Yeah. And to a certain extent, am I correct in thinking that we feel, to one degree or another, invincible? Okay, I'll do this now because I could fix it later.
Oh, definitely. We try every kind of mental trick in the book to prevent us from feeling anxious, depressed, uncertain. Because remember, these are comfort foods and comfort behavior. Drinking too much, eating too much, gambling, shopping too much, whatever it is.
Resoluting too much.
Resoluting too much. That's a good one, yes, and not coming up with a plan. So this is my recommendation. You have to know why you want to break your habit.
Yeah.
Secondly, you have to know why you have had this habit. And finally, what are the triggers that get you going? If you're wanting to diet, which is the number one New Year's resolution, to get in shape and lose weight, and almost everyone has faced that resolution at some point. So, you know, when your TV shows, you know, all the hamburgers and cookies and pies and everything, you know, you've got to just get up and walk out. You just can't look at that. It's horrible. That visual stimulation is so potent.
Yeah.
You've got to know that when you're going to the refrigerator, you've got to get not just a message in your head, but one very important trick that really helps you keep your resolutions is get a friend. Set up in advance someone to call when you feel the urge to do something wrong. Set up your friends or family members to call you. How you doing? What's
support.
Going on?
So you kind of need like a sponsor for your resolutions,
you do,
right?
You really do.
Somebody you could trust, too, because a lot of us have friends who would say, come on, crack open a couple of beers and eat some cookies. What the hell?
I'll bring over a six-pack. Let's go.
You've got to find a friend who's rooting for you, not competing with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, see, look at that. I don't think they see it as competition, but it's more or less, whatever. So we need new friends. That's a resolution we should think about.
Get that out, okay.
You know what? You are expert in the idea of finding true love, especially for women, and you have this website, lovevictory.com. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And everything we're talking about right now is about love. It's about love for yourself and respect. So I wrote my book called Smart Relationships, because I was very, very worried why so many of today's educated, trained women with responsible jobs, and why are they so smart about work but not love? And I wanted to know why. And I didn't want to base it on my observations, on my clinical population, because not that many people see a therapist, although, television and movies make you think people do.
Yeah.
So I did 5 years of in-depth research. I did surveys, workshops, interviews, groups, and I absolutely learned as much as my participants did. So if you were to ask me what is the number one mistake that women make.
What's the number one mistake that women make?
Help me.
Good question,
right,
Phil.
You ready? This is a surprise to me when I first discovered it. After their heart has been broken, they say to themselves, that's it. No more men. I'm down on love.
Wow. And so what the trick is, you got to go right back to the well, right?
You do, because once you take yourself out of life, you get rusty at reading people, which mm-hmm. is the key to trusting your judgment. If you can't read your own reactions and feelings and fears, then you can't read accurately somebody else.
Yeah, I think
about that, the rule that you're supposed to like, you know, wait a year and then maybe get a pet.
Well, Greg, we all know these people that cocoon and you see them and you immediately realize, well, boy, you don't get out much, do you?
Right, but you're supposed to get a plant, and if you don't kill the plant, then you get a pet, and if the pet doesn't die, then after that maybe you're allowed to have another relationship. Is that
not an alcoholic?
And you know what? That's exactly what so many women did. They got not just a cat, but five cats.
Yeah.
Or not just a dog, but three dogs.
And congratulations. That's a real turn on for guys.
Cat lady, we've heard, we've seen those little spots on the news where a person's house has been condemned because there are 50 cats in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of time. You know, waiting a year before you put your heart out there again, that's not going to be the best idea. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's not based on time. It's based on what have you learned about yourself? Why did you get into this situation? Why did you choose this person? Some people can answer those questions in a very short amount of time. So it's not measured by time. It's measured by your emotional bravery.
We're just about out of time, Dr. Wish, but if you have just a quick tip for somebody, a New Year's relationship tip. Do you have something?
A lot of them, yes. Okay.
Just a quickie.
Yes. Don't have sex so soon.
Oh. That's a quickie.
That is not. That's an unquickie.
So hold off on that. So what's the payoff there?
What's the payoff? You make a wiser decision. You get to know someone. Hang out with them. Go on an undate. Don't go on these romantic things. You know, hang out. Make your dates resemble real life, because that's where you're going to be spending your relationship time.
I think I'm going to want to have you back on the show in February so we could talk about single folks and stressing Valentine's Day and all that sort of thing. Are you up for that?
I am. Thank you. And that's talk about social pressure.
Oh, my. Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love. The book is in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much, and please have your listeners go to lovevictory.com and sign up for a free gift.
There, a free gift?
Yeah.
How about that? Thank you, doctor.
Thank you so much.
Hey, that's great. It for hour one. There's more, so much more to come, including news from the Consumer Electronics Show. And you will not believe there's a new syndrome to explain away egregious parenting flaws on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, there's a new high on the streets you need to know about before you have a bad trip, man. Plus, how long does fast food last just sitting on a counter? You'll find out. And do you want to see Miley Cyrus naked? Just asking. The friends are here. Brooke Peterson is in for Aaron Myers. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here as well. And our standby, Chris Martin, always here in the studio. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get things rolling here. And, of course, we'll start with you, Brooke. It looks like we parents do a whole lot of bad to our kids when they're growing up, don't we?
Yes, you do. You just never stop. How do parents cope with all the guilt that they feel and the guilt they give their children? And it turns out that this guilt, a new study shows, is the main determining factor for a person's future mental illness, depression, schizophrenia even.
Really?
Yes, that's what it says.
That's right, Junior. You're the reason why Daddy drinks. Just saying.
Well, see, guilt is a very a useful tool in parenting.
I mean, don't you need to have that? Like, a child needs to have some sense of moral responsibility, right?
Well, I mean, if it's not guilt, it's shame.
Yeah.
And
if I had it, you're having it.
Exactly.
And if I'm not bringing it, the church will. So there you go.
If there's no sense of shame or no sense of guilt.
That sounds like schizophrenia to me. Or,
yes.
Yeah, with no shame.
Then all you have left is a responsibility to your parents to do the right thing. And that goes out the window in a hurry at adolescence, right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget about a good old butt whooping, Phil.
Yeah.
There's always that in the rotation.
You know, I think bring
what
it back.
Does that lead to? Mental illness or butt illness?
No, it leads to a good, strong member of society.
Well, there you go.
And memories. Memories that will keep you straight.
Yes.
Straight and narrow.
A strapping young lad or lassie, as it were. All right, so we're all curious to know what happens to that fast food if we forget to eat it and we leave it out on the counter. Can we come back and hit that in a couple of years?
Pretty much.
Is there any empirical evidence to back that up?
Funny you should ask, Phil. There's a doctor even in Waterford, Michigan, who, as a personal experiment, 2 years ago, it was early 2013, that she bought a Taco Bell dinner and a McDonald's dinner and decided just for the heck of it to leave them out on the sign-in table at her doctor's office. Just
right there in front of everybody?
Right there. People are going to come into her office, sign in, you know, the doctor will see you now, and next to that are these two-year-old fast food meals that apparently have not changed very much.
Are they in one of those fancy trays with the glass cover on them, or are they just out there?
They're just out there.
For there's the flies pictures, yeah. And the vermin to crawl around and all of that.
Well, there's no flies. There's no bugs.
No raccoons.
There's no movement. There's no mold. There's nothing. They're just
petrified.
Flies
won't even touch it. Yeah, they won't even
hard as a rock.
Near it.
But how does it not decompose? What is this stuff
made
of?
Because it's made of plastic.
Yes. So
that goes not actual. Food. There's no real food
but
there.
It's crazy.
But it dissolves and
it's not even dissolving.
No, in your stomach though it does, doesn't it?
No,
does it?
No, it's not food. It's made of plastic. It's like at the when you go to the fancy restaurant and they bring around the dessert tray that's not actually dessert.
Yeah.
It's made of
plastic.
Are those
not real? Really?
It's not real. No,
really
even though you're like, yeah, give me that one.
Take a fork to it. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. No. They run away and bring you a real one. I wanted that one.
I'll have one of them, and then you hit it with the fork. And
right.
No,
yeah. It's plastic.
Good.
I would love
to
walk into that office and just take a big bite out of that burger they have sitting on the counter. I would eat both those meals for $10.
Well, it's a good thing you're in a doctor's office when you try that.
Right, because you're going
to need some. $10? That's cheap.
Oh, yeah. I have a gut like a junkyard dog.
No, you're going to need attention stat, let me tell you.
I believe there's a box of French fries under the seat of my car somewhere.
Yeah.
That I can always whip out at any time. They're like car fries, just in case.
All of this is doing a detriment to us in the long run. And our behavior, Brooke, our routines can lead us to become bad people. Is that right?
Well, there is yet another study that is talking about a person's chronotype, which is basically just whether you're like your body's system cycle, like if you're a night person or a morning person. So they are looking at this evening-oriented chronotype.
Chronotype.
That's a new one. Like what time? A time type.
Yeah. Like if you're a night person. Are you a night person or a morning person?
Greg.
I am. I don't know.
I'm a night person.
I think I'm a
night person, but I've been forced to wake up at 4 a.m. for 30 years, so I'm insane is what I am.
I'm with you, too. I think I go to bed at 1, and I wake up at about 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. That's nothing.
That's an insomniac. Is what that
also
is.
Also insane. Yeah. These are insane people you're listening
and
to.
And then I hit the roads.
Hello, fellow drivers. So what's the point?
Okay,
So the point is,
they're doing a study on night owls, and they have found that night owls tend to have three traits. Was that an owl?
A barn owl.
There's three traits, these three traits are called the Dark Triad of personality traits.
That's
the
new Harry Potter movie, The Dark Triad.
The Dark Triad.
What are these traits?
And it's narcissism.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Psychopathy.
Yep.
Check.
I get all these.
Machiavellianism.
Oh, yay! Patrick!
What? So you want to make people suffer? Is that it?
Well, apparently, if you have, they did these separate tests for these different traits: narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. And just so happened that these people that exhibited the strongest tendency towards those also happen to be night people.
Yeah, you know what? There are so many psychopaths in the world these days. It seems disproportionately so. Greg, that maybe there's some other things that we do in life that cause us to become psychopathic. What do you think?
Well, I don't know what the cause is, but I mean, I think you ought to be able to get some sort of certification or a card, you know, to say that you're in the club. I mean, you're literally certifiable.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a certifiable psychopath because there's a lot of wannabes, trying.
Sure.
I think you should.
And they're
posting
photos on Facebook is what they're doing.
Oh yeah, there is that. Did you see that? There's a thing that says like if you're a dude and you post a lot of selfies, because dudes don't typically do that, I guess. But if you post a lot of selfies of yourself on the internet, that also means you're a psychopath.
Really? Or you're more likely to be a psychopath.
According to new research, which is a link that I could click, but I'm not going to right now, it says, Jesse Fox, assistant professor of communication at Ohio State University.
Oh,
did
good
a study.
Old Jesse.
Yeah, you know Jesse. In the journal Personality and Individual Differences, but found that, yeah, if you're a dude and you're taking selfies and if you're putting on, like, you know, this Instagram filter looks good, and I need to Photoshop out this, you know, wrinkle or whatever, or I need to Photoshop in better abs or what have you. You're a psychopath.
But the distinction is if you're a lady and you do all of that, it's just fine.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with you.
And you'll have about 40 times more likes and followers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
By the way, there's a new, you know about those people, they have selfie sticks, right? They have a stick where they could reach it out, get the phone out there a little farther so they can get a better selfie.
Right.
Now there's something called the Belfie stick. It looks like a selfie stick, but it's for photos of your butt.
Hmm.
It's bendable, and it helps you get the right angle for pictures of
from
behind. Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of people that do that, mostly ladies.
And one Mr. Phil Hewlett is about to get a bunch of nice pictures of my butt.
There you go. You can pre-order one at belfiestick.com for $79.99, which seems ridiculous to me. And for once, it might be better for kids to just use their money on something more practical. I don't know, like drugs.
Oh, yeah. It's funny you bring that up. Because I try to stay on top of drug culture.
Yeah.
You know, given my, gonzo handle. But apparently, yeah, there's a new form. LSD wasn't good enough, apparently. Yeah. Now there's a more amazing synthetic LSD is what they're calling it.
Really?
But my question was, wasn't LSD originally synthetic anyway?
I thought it was, yes.
Right. It was a chemical,
but
right?
This one's made of space-age polymers, I suspect.
Apparently, better living through chemistry, that being 25D NBOME,
yeah.
Which the kids are calling N-bomb. The new trendy LSD for high school kids.
Wow.
Yeah, and so this is when I looked at this, and I feel so out of touch because I was not on top of the latest drug thing. When I was in high school, I had the locker next to the guy that sold Quaaludes. Oh. You remember Quaaludes, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, I miss Quaaludes. But he was the guy, he was the Quaalude guy. So I was popular because my locker was next to Quaalude guy.
Oh.
So I was bummed that I was not on top of this latest development in drug culture. So be on the lookout if you're into that sort of thing.
And just keep in mind that the guys with the lockers have evolved into very bad characters these days. There's a lot of A lot of tough guys with guns, and when they're on TV, they have to alter their voices and put a handkerchief over their face, right? Thank you, Nat Geo.
A little different than it used to be.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, coming up next, there's a rapper who has no business being in the rapper business because he doesn't have a rapper name. Let me just say that. But that's not even the point of the story. It's something that he did that I think you'll be interested in. And Chris has that story coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for listening. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have an app for Android users. If you go to the How to Listen page, you could get the app and never miss a single episode of this year program. We thank you for that. We've seen so much of Miley Cyrus's naked body, haven't we? But we haven't seen quite all of it, if you know what I mean. But that might change, and sooner than you think. Miley wants to pose for Playboy this year.
Why?
Well, a source says, quote, Miley can't think of anything sexier than taking it all off and wants to book a shoot in April.
And has Miley seen the internet lately?
Yeah, right. There's plenty of sexy out there, is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, you know, if you want to be naked, it's available.
Yeah, and her boyfriend, Patrick Schwarzenegger, is all for it. Is he related to the former governor of California?
I believe, yeah, I think so, right?
He is.
Yeah.
That's his son, huh? All right. Now, if Miley wants this, it'll probably happen. Hugh Hefner once said Miley would be welcome in his magazine. Of course, that was in 2008 when Miley was only 15. He meant he'd have her when she turned 18. And
of course, that's what he meant.
And now she's 22.
So now she's welcome in his chambers also.
Right. She's a little old for him.
I don't think she's left much to the imagination in the last couple of years.
I feel like, even though I haven't, I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I haven't,
me too.
But I already feel like I have.
But you can't look away. It's like a train wreck, isn't it?
I can look away.
Well, okay.
I don't think I'll be purchasing that magazine. Yeah.
Here's the question.
I have the willpower.
Here's the question. You know how they airbrush and they do the lighting and all of that just right? Maybe they Photoshop a little bit in Playboy. They make the girls look like they've come down from another planet. Where
That's what
they're
flawless,
what Playboy is for. Flawless babes, basically.
Exactly.
And if they put that treatment on Miley, let me just ask it this way: does she clean up good?
No. You want the direct answer?
She's not your type. Is that what you're saying? Or has she just ruined it for you?
Yeah. I'm not into the trashy type.
Oh, okay. So it's not her body and her physical appearance.
Not her body, too. She's a little skinny. She's a little skinny, you know, sort of emaciated looking.
What about the overbite?
Yeah. Her face isn't bad at all.
Some guys
are into that. She's got a pretty face.
See, for me, it's just that she's Miley Cyrus. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If she was just a random girl on the internet, I'd be like, yeah, I would look at that.
Well, I wonder if guys back in the 60s felt the same way about Annette Funicello.
Who?
Annette Funicello? She's a goddess. What are you saying?
I know, but we saw so much of her body in that.
Are you saying Annette was that day's Miley?
In that bathing suit. Did guys want to see Annette Funicello in Playboy back in the
60s? I see what you're saying. Yeah, but it was much more difficult to see naked women then.
And she wasn't always sticking her tongue out.
Right, but did you have the same thing? Well, no. I knew Annette Funicello when she was a Mouseketeer. There's no way I want to see her in Playboy.
Oh, I thought she was the nanny in the Brady Bunch.
But see, here's the thing.
All right. No. Who's the kid on the show?
Right. Exactly. Well, here's the other thing. Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera were both Mouseketeers. And
Justin Timberlake.
We've
too.
Seen a fair amount of Christina in various.
All right.
Magazines.
So, are you saying there's like a Disney fetish? Is that what you're getting at? Because I'm sure that that's out there.
No, I mean at some point you either flip the switch or you don't from a child who grows up to be a rather sexy woman.
Right.
And you're saying you can't flip the switch with Miley, but perhaps you have with Brittany and Christina. And Annette Funicello, for that matter.
Well, I'm on board with that. Was she ever in Playboy?
No, she wasn't.
Was she?
No.
She never took it off,
She
right?
would never have done that.
That's what I thought. Okay.
She was too pure.
She was a good girl.
All right. All right.
Miley sticks her tongue out.
All right. Enough about that. Let's talk about rappers for no apparent reason. There's a guy named, what's his name, Chris?
Rick Ross.
That's not a rapper name. I'm sorry.
Rick Ross. He's the boss. Well, let me give you a couple of his monikers. How about Teflon Don?
No.
Hood Billionaire?
No.
Never heard of those, huh?
No, I haven't.
All right. Well,
we are painfully Caucasian. I don't know if you've seen
this. All right.
Yeah.
I just drew the equivalent of an Annette Funicello reference at you guys.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Well played.
Molly Pack. Uh-huh.
Touche.
Well, rapper Rick Ross just got a new tattoo on his face, right above his right eye.
Why is that useful?
I don't know. He just joined the ranks of Mike Tyson and Charles Manson. So it's below the DC tattoo on his face and above the three crucifixes already on his face.
Oh, so
this is his third face tattoo?
Yeah, and this one's of the Miami Heat flaming ball going through the hoop. Apparently he's a big basketball fan.
Righty.
Yeah.
You know, the Miami Heat, one day they might change their name to another team or they might move to another city. You never know.
Yeah,
never
or even when... Go ahead.
What might happen? I'm sure that what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
The tattoo artist said he never met anyone who could sit in a tat chair as long as Rick Ross. He is definitely the boss of that.
And he's Rick Ross.
Yeah, Rick Ross.
That's not a rapper name, is it?
Rapper Rick.
Greg.
He's another guy that drops the N-bomb a lot, but not that the LSD N-bomb.
Oh, right. No, yeah.
the synthetic LSD.
He's a thug, too. He's been in trouble a few times.
Hi, I'm Rick. I'm attorney Rick Ross, and I will fight for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't sound right. I mean, I know this is a terribly awful Caucasian point of view to be coming from, but he does not strike me. If you were to say to me, this is rapper Rick Ross, I'm not getting it. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling, I don't know, give me another rapper name.
Like 50 Cent.
Bob McKenzie.
Yes, I'm rapper Bob McKenzie. You understand what I'm saying here,
I do.
Right?
How about Vanilla Ice? You like that one?
Well,
there's a rapper name.
That was a swing and a miss. I did meet that guy, and he's actually okay. But
yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
And he'll fix up your house.
Exactly.
You know what? In our next segment, we're going to talk to our tech dude, Jeremy Antacuni, and I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But here's a pretty bizarre invention that I think you should know about, but maybe it makes sense if you live alone and you don't have someone around to give you the Heimlich maneuver. A company in Japan has invented a new vacuum cleaner attachment that you stick down your throat when you're choking and it sucks the food right out of you. I mean, it's not perfect. I mean, you'd have to attach it to your vacuum cleaner at all times and have your vacuum cleaner handy.
Uh-huh.
But if you're choking, I doubt you'll have the time to dig the vacuum cleaner out of the closet and screw on the attachment. But you never know. And how grateful will you be if you have this thing and it actually does save your life one day? It's like a weird insurance policy.
Or it's a great weight loss product. I think they might not be marketing it properly.
Now, if you want to look at it, it's for sale for only $22, this life-saving vacuum cleaner attachment that sucks the food right out of your throat. It's on a website called Rakuten.com. That's Rakuten.com if you want to look at it. Again, it's only $22.
Yeah, I'm going to stick to the Heimlich.
Yeah,
or that now, chair.
It's always good to have a sexy friend to give
now,
you.
Now, if you're
Heimlich,
not good at remembering the name of websites, you can Google IMG suction nozzle.
Well, that's
and that's the
me.
First thing that pops up is that.
I was going to say I'm going to end up on the wrong website. I'm sure.
At least you go out with a little bit of.
Yeah, don't mess up the IMG part, because I'm sure there are all sorts of nozzles that that apply
involving
suction.
Involving suction that are just going to take me to the wrong place.
Yeah, I think so. What are they up to in Russia, there, Greg, with driver's licenses?
Oh, yeah, this is interesting. Russia, not the best place to be, I don't know, in the alternative lifestyle, I guess we would say. And most recently, they've found that if you have a sex disorder, and by sex disorder in Russia, they mean that if you are transgender, you are not allowed to have a driver's license anymore. You can't drive a car if you are a transgendered person.
Wow. So how has that been received by the transgender community?
Well, not well. I mean, you remember the band Pussy Riot that basically got run out of the country for being gay.
After being put in jail first.
Right, exactly. And being gay in Russia is not the thing to do. So, yeah, transgender people are no longer allowed to drive a car. Neither are pathological gambling gamblers or people that have compulsive stealing problems.
Wow.
Also are not allowed.
Wouldn't it
to
be
drive
great by. After all the shirtless photos on horses and others from Vladimir Putin, if somehow he came out in his memoirs to say that he's gay?
I think he may be trying to drive with heels. I'm not sure, but I think that he might have had a bad experience driving in pumps, and now you can't drive in Russia.
All right.
If you're transgender.
The Consumer Electronics Show is happening right now. A lot of great stuff is coming out, and our tech dude tells us what he likes most next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you for tuning in. It's a great show today, and it's fun because we love the techie stuff. Consumer Electronics Show, CES, that's what everybody calls it. It's happening through tomorrow, I believe, or is it through the weekend? I'm not sure. But every new gadget that's coming out is on display out there, and they're things that you cannot believe, but they're also good things, and that's why our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni, is here with us now. Jeremy, did you go to CES this year, or are you reviewing it from afar?
I'm reviewing it from afar. I sat this one out this year.
Oh, okay. So it gets a little crowded and noisy over there after all.
It does. There's a lot of craziness going on, a lot of drones flying around, although they did keep them contained within little netted areas.
Well, I'm going to want to know about drones in a minute because I know you have an awfully cool one. But hold on to that thought just for a second. A lot of people these days, Jeremy, are leaving their cable TV and they're using other services like Roku and Netflix and what else? I mean, there's a whole list of them.
Amazon TV,
right. These people are called cord cutters. Is that right?
That is, and you know, we're starting to see more and more ways of getting around paying the cable company or one of the satellite companies, and actually they're starting to realize that, so they're starting to figure out maybe we need to get in on this. So a new service is going to be offered starting in the next couple months from Dish. It's called Sling TV, which is not to be confused with the Sling Box, which is of course a way to watch your TV from a different location that you get your TV at home. Kind of confusing there. But
yeah.
Dish is offering a new streaming service. It is going to be $20 a month, no contracts, so you'll be able to start and stop it whenever you'd like. And essentially, there's about 10 channels that are included. You can watch live TV as well as get video on demand from ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, TBS, Food Network, HGTV, Cartoon Network, and the Disney Channel. So it does have kind of a variety of channels there.
Sounds limiting, though.
It is. You're not going to get everything, but of course you've got other options to fill in on the networks that may not be included. You of course can get them on Amazon Prime. You can get them on iTunes and so forth.
And so let's add up the money now. So the Amazon Prime costs you what? About $10 a month, or is it a flat
fee? Yeah, $100 a year. But yeah. I view that as discounts on the shipping. I really don't.
True.
I buy enough stuff that's worth it to me.
Yeah. So you get that money back. All right. And then the Netflix is going to run you about $14-$15 a month.
I think mine's less than $10 a month. I don't have the disc delivery stuff.
Oh, you've knocked that out. Okay, I still have the two discs. I think they're up to like $18 a month for two discs.
Wow. Yeah. No.
They only give you two a month now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's my choice. Not two a month, but two at any given moment.
Yeah. See, I don't even have a Blu-ray player or any DVD players connected to any of my TVs. I've just got Roku boxes or Apple TVs connected up. I don't bother with those.
I've been off. I haven't had cable for about a year now, and I just get things for various methods.
Uh-huh.
I looked at this and it looks interesting, but the channel selection for me, didn't really fit because I was looking for Comedy Central basically, and a couple of maybe the Food Network and stuff like that. So it's close. It's really close, but there's no network on this, right?
Right. And so, and they do have the ability to add on additional channels, like a $5 add-on pack, so that they've got a, you know, a news and information pack or a kids pack and so forth.
Well, they don't want it to be too expansive, because it would cannibalize the product that they, or the service that they sell for $150 a month.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll see where this goes. You know, obviously things are changing, and it's nice to see at least you know, one of the providers starting to make some sort of effort to keep up with the times and deliver services that people may want more than paying $150 a month for cable.
Yeah, all right. Now, before we talk about the drones, and you, I know you want to, something for hovering parents out there. Tell me about TempTrack.
Well, you know, of course, the last couple of years, there's been a lot of buzz around the Internet of Things, which is, you know, different devices in your house that will be connected to the Internet. Wearables, of course, you know, smartwatches are becoming popular. But this is kind of cool. This is it's an adhesive soft patch Bluetooth thermometer. And so what this does is allows parents to stick it to their kid if they've got a cold or are sick, and then monitor them via an app on both iOS and Android. And I don't know if any of you guys have tried to take a temperature of a small child recently, but it's not easy, even some of the newer thermometers.
But I could see these helicopter parents looking at their app. Oh my God, it's 98.65.
Yeah, no, we don't. This is, yeah. Can we just say no? How can we say no to this? Just say no.
In some instances, this actually could be pretty beneficial. My daughter, who is 4 years old now, actually went through a pretty awful experience. She had what's called a febrile seizure.
Ooh.
And so her temperature got, you know, hot enough where she actually had a seizure. And I was home by myself. Nobody else was around. And I, you know, was freaking out about this. And so now what we have to do is anytime that she gets a temperature, we have to immediately treat it so that she doesn't get into that kind of danger zone, because she's at risk for having another seizure.
Oh, so would your daughter wear this at all times?
Yeah, well, if she was getting sick or had a slight elevated temperature, we would, you know, use something like this, and then we wouldn't have to worry about it, because what it'll do is you can set a threshold, and it'll alert you if the temperature goes above a certain temperature. So
now you're going to worry about it all of the time. All of the time.
No, you're obviously not a parent, are you?
No, I have two. I raise them with regular thermometers.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, you know, this is...
I'm that old. New kids with your nuclear space thermometers.
Yes, all right. Well, let's see, we apologize for making you feel bad. You brought us right back down to earth. And in all deference to your lovely daughter, we hope that she's well.
It's a great.
She is. She's quite well. Okay, yeah, haven't had any of those seizures since. So.
All right. Now let's move on, Jeremy. And are you ready to trade in your shiny, mostly new drone for a new model already?
Yes. Do you want to buy my old one?
Well, what's new about drones?
So DJI is the manufacturer of probably the most common drones that you see. That's the white drone that you see flying out. It's a quadcopter. It's got the little camera that hangs down below. It's a, you know, sub $1,000 drone, and of course have become really, really popular because they're easy to fly. They've got beautiful video that they can produce. But they have kind of kicked things up a notch, and they've got something new called their Inspire 1 drone. And what this is a 4K camera hanging below their new drone, and it has retractable arms. So as you take off, the arms that are connected to the propellers actually raise above the camera so that you actually have complete 360-degree stabilized video as you're flying around, and it's 4K video, so it's super, super high resolution, and this is just awesome. So, yes, I will probably be selling.
Perfect for videotaping construction fires, right, Jeremy?
That's right. I highly recommend it. It's a great
thing. If I fly that over my neighbor's house, that's okay too, right?
Yeah. Well, if you're a creep, I guess.
Yeah, but when is that going to start? I mean, have you thought about that, Jeremy? I mean, you're an upstanding member of the community. You're not going to do anything untoward with your drone, but there are others who don't think twice about shenanigans like that. And I'm in a two-story house, and sometimes I'll open the window in the bathroom, and I'll look out, and I'll say, you know, there will be a day when on odd or even days of the week, I'm not sure which, I will see a drone scoot past my window.
Yeah, you know, they don't respond well to in-air collisions. So if you throw something up at it, it's likely going to come crashing down. And certainly, I wouldn't hesitate if one was flying over my backyard that was looking in on
coming
me.
Coming down,
I would start throwing things.
Get out of my airspace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get off of my property. All right,
I'm not comfortable with a Goodyear blimp most of the time. So
Hey, Jeremy, we have a question for you, and I know you've been following this, and you've been instructing and teaching us very carefully over the months. About net neutrality, and Greg here has a question about that. Or, in fact, there's a news item on this.
Glad
what's your comment
brought
on
that
it?
Up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, it looks like the guy that's running the FCC is signed on to Obama's plan to make the FCC get involved in net neutrality, which on the surface seems like a good thing. But in my experience in broadcasting, if you need an organization to screw something up, nobody can do it better than the FCC. Where are you at on this?
Right. Well, you know, people have, or actually one person in particular has called Mr. Wheeler a dingo, which is, of course, I think a great description for what he is. He's a former cable industry lobbyist who's now running the organization that's supposed to be, managing and overseeing those industries. So while I don't particularly side with him in terms of his views and his connections to the industries, I do think that we are going to see some positive movement in the direction of net neutrality, in the sense that President Obama came out recently and suggested that they do put the rules in place to protect net neutrality. And it's looking more and more likely that the FCC is going to reclassify internet service providers under Title II, which gives them a lot more control over what is actually able to happen, and they can enforce those net neutrality rules. So,
right, it makes the internet provider more like the cable, more like a utility, right?
More like a utility, exactly. And so, I think that is absolutely what needs to happen. And I'm hopeful that the vote that's coming up, I believe it's in February, that they will actually be voting on that and hopefully go that direction. Mm. Verizon, of course, filed a lawsuit to get the FCC rules thrown out that really had protected net neutrality. And I think it's really going to backfire on them, because if the FCC does vote and approve the Title II reclassification, it's really going to have the opposite effect that Verizon was after.
Jeremy,
but here's what's going to happen is we will not be able to say booger on the internet anymore.
Yes, that's right. Exactly true. Jeremy, always great to talk with you. Talking tech, and we'll check in with you once again next Thursday.
All right, guys. See you then.
All right. Thank you. All right. Up next, we have one more gadget to throw your way that Jeremy didn't cover, and Brooke has a particular interest in it. And also, if you have a hankering for goose innards, we've got an update for you next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. This is Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to it, and we thank you for that. I'm Phil. Gonzo, Greg Spillane.
I didn't do it.
Brooke Peterson.
I did.
And Chris Martin are all here. And my goodness, on the subject of gadgets, it gets a little out of hand sometimes. I don't even know if there's a need for this, Brooke. I mean, what exactly do these gadgets do when it comes to your pets?
Well, it only depends on how much you love your pet, Phil. I mean, if you don't love your pet, then I guess you don't really need it.
Right.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
You're a bad pet owner. No, there's two gadgets, actually. One is basically a box. It's called Pet Cube. It's a box you leave in a room where your said pet should probably be. And then you can be traveling the world and have a little app on your phone. And with this app, you can use your finger on the screen and it'll be like a laser pointer in the room with your cat. And so you can basically play with your cat from, you know, the...
And by play, you mean torture.
Torture, absolutely. Yes. But they like that. It's a good thing.
No, the laser pointer in the
they
cat.
They love it.
The ever. So
yeah,
awesome.
So you can play with the laser pointer with your cat from anywhere in the world, and you know they feel like you know you're with them or something like that. Mm. And there's also a speaker and stuff. And then there's another there's a collar thing, like a camera with a speaker and this thing.
Wait,
where
there's a speaker so you can like talk to your like dog.
Yeah, well this is a different thing, but yes, it's a little thing that the dog wears around its collar, and it has a microphone, a speaker, and a camera. So you can talk
amazing.
To your dog. Yeah, talk to your dog while you're not there, which I have to imagine must really freak the dog out. I mean, right?
No, see, because I've always thought, Phil, and maybe you'll go in on this with me, there's a new radio network for your dog. So it's just 24 hours a day. It's like, get off the couch. stop pumping the ottoman.
No, we talked about all the things that could turn a child when they grow up to be an adult into a psychopath. Imagine all the psychopathic dogs that there will be.
Paranoid schizophrenics.
Who respond to vocal feedback from their humans.
Well, yeah, because the
human And then you're
can
not
see.
There.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, my dog responds to ringtones. Because my wife has different ringtones for different family members. And so my dog can tell.
Oh, that's cool.
When a certain ringtone happens, there's a strong chance that maybe one of my daughters is outside and she's, you know, rather than ring the doorbell, she calls first to say I'm home. Because it's my job to move the cars around, you know, valet, so that they could get into the driveway. So she immediately runs to the door when she gets that feedback.
That's
and
so,
so
cool.
If there's no payoff, the dog is in a world of hurt, psychological
it's a dog.
Hurt.
That's true.
Yes.
And you're not petting it to make
well,
it.
Well, I know it's a dog.
No, it's a
hey,
dog.
Hey, hey, hey.
My dog's feelings are hurt. Wah.
Dogs are great. Dogs are awesome.
As we've covered before.
Yes.
I know. All right. I'm not covering.
We have more animal news in a moment, but first we want to get a quick update because the NFL season is grinding to a final. We have, what, four teams left, Chris?
There's eight teams left. This is a quarterfinal.
Oh, quarterfinal.
Yeah, there's going to be
Can they
four
drag
games,
this on
teams.
Anymore?
All yeah.
Right. All right, so what's the outlook?
Shh, they will.
All right, this is for all the football fans, and if you guys are associated with any of these cities, if you want to place any bets, now's the time to do it. We got the Baltimore Ravens going into the New England Patriots stadium. They're going to play them. They're a touchdown dog to the Patriots, meaning the Patriots are giving up 7 points. The Dallas Cowboys, if there's any Cowboy fans, they're going into frigid Green Bay, Wisconsin to play the Packers. The Packers are giving them 7 points.
Yeah, Green Bay guys are going, we hope it's as cold as possible.
And it usually is. This time of year, it'll get down into the 20s, and that's just going to bode
well.
Because
we haven't had a really huge like snowstorm football game in forever.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's been too long.
Right.
That maybe this will be the weekend for it. I'm
all
crossing my fingers.
All these domes with roofs and stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, like the next two teams. The Indianapolis Colts are going into Denver, potential to snow there. They're going to play the Broncos. Peyton Manning, it's his old team. He used to play for Indianapolis. That's where he set most of his records.
That guy lost me so much money, I will never forget
him. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was in Indianapolis when he sucked. Then after I left Indianapolis, he got good. I'm like, I hate that dude.
Right, yeah. And then the last game of the weekend is going to be the Carolina Panthers going into Seattle to face the defending champion Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are giving up 11.5, almost 12 points to the Panthers.
So yeah, so it's going to be the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it looks like it. All roads go through Seattle, and the only team that might beat them in the NFC is Green Bay, and that still seems like a pretty daunting task.
So in the AFC, who's the cream of the crop?
New England or Denver? I mean, I feel like it's a toss-up there.
Yeah, all right.
Does this ever change every year? It seems like it's always the same teams every single year.
Well,
kind of are in a loop, right?
Seattle was out of it for a long time, for like 20 years, right? I mean, when was the last time after they won last year? But prior to that, has Seattle been in the Super Bowl?
They have. They went to a Super Bowl in 2004, I believe, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they lost.
10 years ago.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
Well, yeah,
see,
but everybody else, Denver,
yeah,
Indianapolis,
Green
Patriots.
Bay. Yeah.
The teams
I grew up in New England, and New England stank for so long. They were the awfulest team in the world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, they've been huge for what? 10, 15
years? They figure it out sooner or later. They get Clipper money. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, a while ago, Greg, you made the comment, it's just a dog.
It's a dog.
Well, implying that the dog is there for our pleasure, and that by the same token, if we follow the same line of thinking, there are all sorts of animals on this planet that are just there for our taste, for our tummies, for us to enjoy a nice bite of food. And in the state of California, there's been a certain kind of food that's been outlawed for some time. And
yeah,
and
you're talking about the foie, I don't even know how to say it, foie gras.
Now, what exactly?
You can't say it.
What exactly is that, Greg?
Well, it's a goose liver or duck liver, right?
Yeah.
And I've had it a few times.
It's in a pate. Is it?
It's
right?
It's a pate. Yeah. It's like
with a little bit of congealed whatever it is to bind it together.
Once again, this is another thing where you really don't want to know where your food comes from, but that's the issue. It was banned because people are upset because it's made from ducks and geese that they force feed to make super fat and make their livers huge and, excuse me, delicious. So it was banned, but the ban has been struck down, so foie gras is back for all the fancy people like you and me, Phil, who like to eat fancy food.
I've yet to try it, but the moment I was ready for it, it was against the law.
You haven't? I'm surprised. You strike me as a fancy person, Phil.
I do look at the menu at the restaurant, I look for the thing I've never had before, and that's what I order.
Okay, well, but what are the eggs?
Caviar.
Caviar?
Oh, sure, I've had caviar.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, yes. Yeah.
I've had all sorts of exotic food.
And caviar dreams, like what his name used to say.
Oh, that guy?
Robin Leach.
Yeah, Robin
Leach, yeah.
You know, there are five myths about food that people still think are true. You know
myths
what they are? Myths. Like coffee stunts your growth. Not true. Any type of multigrain bread is good for you. Not true.
No.
No, it's just carbs that turn into sugar.
But it's multigrain.
It's bread!
Sugar makes kids hyperactive. That's not necessarily true.
Oh, what is this study? This
vitamin C presents colds.
Or prevents.
Not true.
I don't believe any of this.
And celery is a negative calorie food.
It is.
Apparently not true. It's a myth. A large stalk of celery has about 10 calories.
Need some fact checking.
And butter has no association with cholesterol. That just came up.
By the way, this is according to the BBC, and they're never wrong.
Oh, right. Then that's right. Just don't listen to them.
I'm just all befuddled.
Spoiled tea, then, eh?
All right. That's it for this edition. We take your comments on the contact page at philhewlettandfriends.com. We're on Twitter at Faf Show. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson, has been in the studio with us today. Nicely done.
Thanks, well
done,
guys. Yeah. It's been
for
fun.
Brooke and for Gonzo Greg and for Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.